Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q3 and 9M FY26 earnings conference call of Adani Energy Solutions Limited. From the AESL side, we have the following on the call as main speakers: Mr. Kandarp Patel, CEO AESL; Mr. Kunjal Mehta, CFO AESL; Mr. Kapil Sharma, Business Head Transmission; Mr. Pushpendra Zala, Business Head Smart Metering; Mr. Bhaskar Sarkar, Business Head Cooling Solutions; Mr. Vijil Jain, Head IR AESL. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vijil Jain from AESL. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Jain.
Sure. Thanks, Renju. Just to add, we also have Mr. Kapil Sharma, the Business Head for Transmission Business, also with us. So thank you for, I mean, thank you everyone for attending the call. Good day and warm welcome to the Quarter 3 earnings call. So I just hope you got a chance to go through the earnings material which we uploaded on the website and the exchange. And just to very quickly explain the flow of the call, so we will start with an opening statement from the CEO, followed by Q&A, and then a closing remark from the CFO. Let me now hand over the call to KP sir for opening remarks. Thank you.
Thank you, all investors and analyst friends, for joining this call. These are very exciting times for AESL. We have now delivered another strong performance in the last quarter. The adjusted PAT growth, if we take into account the one-time impact of deferred tax of 185 crore last year in Quarter 3, the adjusted PAT growth is 30%, not only in financial terms but in other CapEx performance as well as OpEx performance. The company has done significantly well. In the first 9 months, we have commissioned three transmission projects: NKTL, Khavda Phase 2 Part A, and Khavda Pooling Station, and Sangod Transmission Project. In coming months, we are on track to commission another three projects. One of them is a landmark HVDC project where almost the entire project work is completed. The testing and commissioning is going on. The other projects that will get commissioned soon are Khavda Phase 3A, which is Halvad project, and WRSR project. Besides the commissioning of a good number of projects in coming time, we have also won another HVDC project, which is KPS3, Khavda South Olpad project. Now, with this another HVDC project, our project pipeline has reached to about 78,000 crore. On a smart metering side, we have been doing in line with what we anticipated and projected. So in the current quarter, we have installed meters close to 19 lakh, and now we have reached to about an aggregate meter installed count of about 92 lakh. And by the time we close this year, we will certainly cross 1 crore meter installation. On capital management side as well, you must have noted that Moody's has revised the rating and improved from negative to stable for two of our subsidiaries, Adani Transmission Step One Limited and Adani Energy, Adani Electricity Mumbai. As far as operational performance is concerned, we continue to have excellent availability. which is over 99.7%, and which has resulted to incentive income of 33 crore as well. As far as distribution is concerned, because of weather in this year, the sale has not grown as compared to the last year. But on operational front, we continue to do excellent work. Now T&D losses are around 4%. To be precise, it is 4.03%, which is significant achievement looking to the fact that we continue to improve this particular parameter. As far as consumer services and other things are going, we have been doing fairly well there. In fact, the collection remains close to more than, in fact, 100% collection efficiency. And we have been now collecting more than 85% of payment through e-payments. As, we already talked about smart meter, where we have already installed 90 lakh meter and reached to 93 lakh installation. The pipeline also remains strong, so about 100 million meter are yet to be bid out. We expect to continue to maintain our market share, and we will add that pipeline in the metering business as well. As far as C&I business, there are a lot of activity going on, and in fact we feel that this is going to be one of the major growth drivers besides transmission and smart metering. We have now reached to aggregate load of about 700 megawatt, serving about 14 consumer. That was at the end of December. The current count is 31 consumer and load of about 1300 megawatt. So we are rapidly growing there. And you will see a lot of action on C&I front. As far as cooling business is concerned, we continue to create that market for cooling business. You are aware that we are already putting up India's largest district cooling facility of 40,000 metric ton tons of refrigeration at Mundra. As far as financial is concerned, you must have noted those numbers. The income has grown by 16% and consolidated EBITDA has also now reached to 2,200 quarterly, which is a growth of 21%. The consolidated PBT has also rose by 43%, which is and has reached to 800 crore level. Now, what is most important thing that is going to happen, that as far as transmission and smart metering and C&I business is concerned, there is a strong pipeline and opportunity pool available in the market. So we'll continue to add that. But at the same time, the kind of effort that we are putting in execution, you have seen that result in smart metering side. In next year, we expect to add massive capitalization in transmission as well. And with those, in fact, we are poised to add about 7 projects in next financial year, capitalize 7 projects, which will, the gross block of those projects will be close to about 24,000-25,000 crore. And that will give a massive jump to the EBITDA and profitability of the company. So I think this is a very exciting time for AESL, and we look forward to hearing from all of you from time to time. Kunjal, over to you.
So with these remarks, I now request any questions that anyone would have. I'm happy to take questions from the investors.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Mohit Kumar with ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. My questions are more on the industry side. Of course, sir, we haven't seen too much of attrition in the smart meter order book, right? I think whatever we have won was from last year. Do you think in the next 12 to 18 months, do you think that there will be some more opportunity for the smart meter, from the smart meter side?
So, Mohit, thank you so much. As always, you are the opening batsman. As far as smart meter bidding is concerned, there are a few states where bidding is yet to happen yet to conclude. One is Tamil Nadu. That bidding happened, but I think they will re-invite the bid. But there are few other states like Karnataka, Telangana. They initially were not got that DPR approved under RDSS. I believe those states have now filed the DPR with MOP, and on receipt of that approval, they will also come out with bidding. So we expect that significant action we will see in smart metering bidding in next couple of quarters.
Understood. On our transmissions, of course, we have done phenomenally well in this fiscal. I think we added, 40,000 crore worth of new transmission projects. My question is more about the future. How do you think about the next 12 to 18 months? It seems like the transmission bids have slowed down. Do you think, in your opinion, that we can do at least 60,000 to 70,000 crore additional bidding in the next 12 months?
So, Mohit, the project that has been approved by NCT and various state STUs, if you add all those projects, it crosses 1 lakh crore bidding opportunity. Conservatively, we think that bidding for at least 70,000 to 80,000 crore will happen in next 12 months.
The last question on my side, sir. Why this HVDC, of course, HVDC line is, we are thinking about, we were guided earlier that it will get commission in the Q2. It hasn't happened. And what is the new tentative commissioning date?
So all the work is completed there. Testing and commissioning is going on. So we expect that to get commission in another 30 to 45 days.
Anything which caused the delay, sir? Anything?
So the delay was, so there were two major HDD that we had to do on that Vasai Creek, and there were some working permission related issue because of which it got delayed. And there is also 4 kilometers of stretch of cabling that is to be done in Array Colony. There we took little more time because that rain get prolonged, and we have to make very, very focused effort there that while we do that cabling work, we don't damage any ecosystem. And because of that prolonged rain in Mumbai, it got little late. So both the terminal are ready. Now the terminal testing and commissions are going on, and the last patch of cabling is also getting ready.
Understood, sir. Thank you, and all the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes on the line of Puneet Gulati with HSBC. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much. My first question is on your KPS3 HVDC. What is the cost that you are now penciling for this Khavda Olpad project?
Project cost?
Yeah.
That will be about close to 19,000 crore.
19,000 crore. And on the Bhadla Fatehpur HVDC, what is the stage of execution there?
So all the contracts have been awarded. entire route survey has been done. The necessary application for forest and wildlife has also been submitted. In fact, environment clear, this forest clearance for Rajasthan portion has progressed significantly in, and PSC 1 committee has already given approval. Construction at Badla site has also already begun. Most of the basic engineering has been done, and now we will see a lot of progress in terms of execution on the ground. So all the preparatory work has been completed. We are finding some challenges in land acquisition for Fatehpur, but we expect to complete that also in 1 month's time. So significant work has been done there. More than 200 acres has already been acquired.
It's still due in August by July 29, right? So land acquisition challenges can still be surpassed. Can you still do it by July 29, or do you think it could be delayed?
Easily. Yeah, yeah. So because entire engineering and other thing has been done, the contract is also in place. So we will now very soon mobilize the resources and we'll start construction there.
And you have 4 projects due for completion this calendar year, right? Khavda 4, Jamnagar, Navinal and Pune 3. Are these all 4 on track?
Yeah, so Navinal got little delayed because the issuance of transmission license from CERC got delayed. Where we already commenced the work and foundation for half of the line has been done. But in absence of that license, we were not getting 164 approval. Now we will get that. But given the progress, even though it is late from original schedule, but we expect it to complete it in a current year. As far as Jamnagar project is concerned, we are acquiring the substation land, which is government land, so that process is going on. And we already started working on the transmission line. Those ROW order under government policy is under process, and we expect those orders to come out in 1 month to 1.5 months for the entire region. And with those orders, we'll start commence the execution work as well. But Jamnagar project has also, as of now, is delayed by 1 to 1.5 months as compared to the original schedule. But we'll catch up once we have these government approvals.
Okay. And can you give me the revised timeline for all these 4, if you can?
Yeah. So, HVD, you are talking of Jamnagar and Navina?
Yeah, the 4 due this year, right? So, Khavda 4 is also due, I guess, right?
Yeah, yeah. Jamnagar and Navinal both will get complete in last quarter of this year.
Okay.
Khavda 4A will be one element will be in the second quarter. Another element will be in third quarter.
Okay.
And rest other project in the first quarter.
And the Pune 3, that's also due for this year, right?
Yeah, Pune 3 also will be in the last quarter.
Last quarter of this calendar year?
Next calendar year.
So, okay. 27?
Next year. Next financial year, not calendar year.
Oh, next financial year. Okay. So more like February, March. Okay. That's helpful. Thank you so much. And lastly, I've been noticing your smart meter execution has picked up. Anything that has changed from policy support side or anything that you are doing to pick up pace there?
So we have been making all those efforts in picking up that execution rate. So we are installing about 25,000 meters a day. We keep on getting those challenges in the ground, but now having installed so much of meter and with this kind of exposure, our team has been able to do fabulous work on the ground.
Okay. That's very helpful. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes on the line of C.A. Karvit with Serene Alpha. Please go ahead. Mr. Garg, please go ahead with the question. Mr. Garg, please unmute yourself and go ahead with the question. Since there is no reply from the line of Mr. Garg, we'll move to the next participant, and that is Mr. Gaurav Nigam with Tunga Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question. I have a first question. We are hearing about this policy relaxation on the Chinese side in some sectors. I think most recently, there has been some news about the thermal power side. I just wanted to check if there is anything that we can benefit from, and is there any positive benefit on the transmission side specifically that can come to us on going forward basis?
Gaurav, if that happens, obviously it will help because that will increase our options for equipment sourcing. But even if it is not done, we are not affected because we have that kind of strategic relationship with all our major OEMs. We have been doing all these projects and so far with the restriction on Chinese player, and we will be getting all the supplies at a right time and at an appropriate pricing. So obviously it will be an incremental advantage, but even if it doesn't happen, we are not affected.
But as of now, is there anything where we are positively getting the benefit, or nothing has happened so far?
Come again? Sorry?
I was just asking, is there any benefit that we have started getting as of now, or that restriction is still stays, sir?
No, it is still there. So there were news items which we came across that government is planning to relax it. We don't know the exact contour of it, but if that happens, then obviously it will increase options for us.
Understood, sir. And sir, second question was specifically about if you look at on the transmission side, I mean, we are seeing lower tendering. I mean, first half was slow. We expected third quarter to pick up. I think there is some pickup. And on the execution side also, I mean, as you mentioned, there has been some delays. I think we are hearing in the other developer also there is some delays. So, I mean, is there something structurally which is hampering both on the tendering side and the execution side? I mean, how do you think about it? Because, I mean, year on year, if you look at from last year to this year, there have been both sides, there have been significant lowering. So, I mean, just wondering, how do you look at both on the tendering and execution side?
So, Gaurav, the challenges in execution is known to all of us. So, essentially, those are relating to equipment supply or manpower availability or ROW. But this year, the additional challenge that we faced, especially us, because our mainly concentration of project execution is in Mundra, around Khavda and Gujarat, and also in Maharashtra, where rain continued for quite some time. It was abnormal. It continued up to almost Diwali period, and that has affected our execution. As far as manpower ability is concerned, what we have done is that now the stringing manpower was the most critical one. In fact, in last 6 months, we have set up our own training facility at Godda, where it's a catchment area for people who works on a tower erection, and that facility is up and running. Now we will be having 200 people trained available to us from this month. Every quarter we will have about 400 to 500 people available to us in the stringing, which we will provide to our EPC partner for execution. And with this kind of endeavor, we expect that lot of significant progress will happen on execution side. The another challenge which remains is ROW, and therefore I mentioned that in Jamnagar, and in most of the project, what we are trying to do is while we start the project, but we focus more on getting those ROW orders from collector, compensation related order from collector. So that becomes a benchmark for us for negotiation with a farmer. So with all this effort, we expect to see lot of progress in this quarter as far as CapEx is concerned, and then next quarter, because that also will be a working season. So you'll see a lot of action on that front.
Good. And sir, just your perspective on the tendering side as well. I mean, there seems to be, I mean, year on year there is a drop. So how do you think about that, sir?
So as I said earlier, we expect that about 80,000 crore of bidding will happen, combined together state as well as center. And that 80,000 crore is also a significant number. And if we even continue to maintain our market share, we will have a significant opportunity there.
Got it, sir. Got it, sir. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Sumit Kishore with Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is to better understand the phase out of capitalization of your works in hand. So of the 780 billion rupees works in hand, would it be right to say that roughly 400 billion is non-HVDC? And how would is the capitalization spread over FY 26, 27 and 28 for this? And you can correct the numbers.
Yeah, sure. So based on the timelines which we just mentioned, the Mumbai HVDC and the NKTL project which will get complete, I mean the NKTL which just got completed, around 10,000 odd crores of capitalization, will get completed by in the next 2 months itself, which will right. give an additional tariff of around 1,600 odd crores. We expect the additional ones, especially the Khavda Phase 3, that is the Halwar project and the WRSR projects, that will get commissioned in the next 3 to 5 months period. Which will lead to an additional capitalization of close to 4,800 odd crores. And then all the three projects which Kandar mentioned will lead to an additional capitalization of 10,000 odd crores by the end of the next financial year. So all put together, we have 10,000 in the next 1 or 2 months, 5,000 odd in the next 4 to 5 months, and the balance 10,000 coming up by the end of next financial year.
FY 27 end.
Correct.
So what is the visibility right now for FY 28 as well on the non-HVDC side?
I don't have the immediate visibility of FY 28. That would be too far.
Right.
Yeah. Is that this is something which we have immediately on the end.
Sure. My second question is in relation to the two large HVDC projects that you are executing. Broadly, what would be the capex phase out as you complete these projects? By 2029, 2030 or so. Broad capex phase out.
Yeah, so roughly the capex in transmission per year on an average, there could be a variation year to year, but for next 5 years, it would be in the range of about 18,000 to 20,000 crore.
This is including everything, your HVDC, non-HVDC, everything.
Correct.
Specifically for HVDC.
On the later years, it might go up as we add new transmission project in our kitty. But given the project pipeline currently, it will be about 18,000 to 20,000.
Okay. And specifically for your HVDC projects, would it be fair to say that, in the first 2 years of execution, less than 25% of the capex will get incurred and bulk of it will be in the latter part?
Yes.
Okay. And my last question, if you can also shed some light on the phase out of the next HVDC project awards, which is likely, say, till end of FY 27, to rename the projects and the potential size that you're looking at?
New project, new HVDC projects likely to come up in FY26.
Yeah, so there are a few HVDC projects under bidding pipeline, and we certainly would be participating in those bids sincerely.
Any specific bids that you're aware of, that you can just share with us?
There is one project, HVDC project from Barmer, HVDC, which comes up to Maharashtra, South Kalam. That is the immediate
Kalam.
That we expect to come in the bidding process.
So can that get awarded by June, or will that be, maybe in the second half of CY26?
I think it will be done in the first quarter of the next year.
Okay, that is great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question comes on the line of Manish Somaiya with Cantor. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Shweta here from Cantor on behalf of Manish. Congrats again on another strong quarter. I have two questions from me. The first one is on the debt stack. We've had multiple bond buybacks in the year earlier, and sort of wanted to understand, given the surplus cash for this year, what is the prioritized use? Is it going to be further bond buybacks, or is it going to be more CapEx? And also, given the scale of transmission and the smart metering ramp up, what leverage ceiling should we look at that would essentially force a reconsideration on equity? Because we've discussed this before, that you've said there's going to be no fundraising plans by equity. So I think this is my first question, and then we'll get into the other one.
Yeah, hi. So you're right. So the company did buy bond buybacks, and we did bond buybacks in our electricity Mumbai distribution company. We did a bond buyback of 120 million last year, followed by a bond buyback of 95 million up to the 9 months that we did. We did a one buyback of 50 million, and then we again followed it up with a buyback of 45 million. So AEML distribution business, because of the surplus that it is generating, and as we have guided, we will continue to deliver that company after meeting all its capex and its opex requirements. So that company has roughly a capex of around 1500 to 1600 odd crores. And after meeting that capex, the company still has their surplus, which we will use to deliver the balance sheet. And at the right times, we will continue to do the bond buybacks in that organization. As far as the consolidated debt profile of the company concerned, we have always guided that we would be in the range of around 4 to 4.5 times based on our CapEx cycles. But it would be in that guided range always.
Understood. Given the progress in the newer verticals, can you reshare the margin structure, especially for the C&I business? Sort of the expected growth and the capital intensity to scale the vertical, and what are the timelines you're targeting for this business?
Yeah, so C&I, especially C&I and district cooling business, you see in a smart meter, which is the margin as compared to the conventional transmission and distribution business, there are very high margins in smart metering. We expect similar kind of margin structures both in district cooling as well as C&I business. In fact, C&I business would be very interesting one, where we won't have any capex to do, but despite the fact that because of our solutioning capability, the margins would be significantly high, of the order of 75 plus paisa per unit, and that will be a massive segment to where we are also very excited.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I have to ask this question, especially on data centers. You know, you mentioned there's a lot of potential for AESL, especially with the group's tie-ups. And sort of what indicators should we be tracking for AESL?
What
So in data centers, in fact, we bring great amount of volume value when we deal with a data center, because the two things where they find it difficult, not only in India but across the globe, is getting the power infra or connectivity, and also a power supply. Now AESL, having presence in both, we are in a position to offer them an end-to-end solution. And this kind of approach has been well appreciated. In fact, we have been in discussion with multiple players, big players who are planning to enter into India in a massive way. So it's going to be a very exciting one, especially C&I, coupled with our capability of delivering that power infra as well.
Thank you. Thank you, and congrats again on a great quarter.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Pratik Chitalia with M&G. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. So my question is around how are we going to fund the future CapEx? Are we going to raise the debt, or it will be funded through internal accruals? How it will be done?
Sure. So I'll split that basis the business divisions that we have. So in AEML, as I just told, that business, whatever capex that is there is being funded through its internal accruals. So is the case with respect to the smart meter business. Smart meter business has a low gestation period, and because of that, it is able to fund its own capex. In fact, what we are actually doing is that securitizing the receivables of smart meter, based on the meter that we have installed. We are securitizing that meters, and that is funding more internal accruals for my transmission projects. And in case of transmission business, we generally lever these assets up to 70-75% at the inception. And then once the asset gets completed, we again launch it into the bond market. So we try to lever it further up to 80-85% once the asset gets operational. So based on that, and based on the internal accruals and the fund flows that the company is generating, we do not envisage any further equity borrowing which is required to fund all our under construction projects that we currently have.
Okay, are we looking at the bond funds, funding through bonds, or?
So we look for our debt funding. Once the asset gets operational, we continue to look various options, which includes domestic bonds, which includes bonds in the international markets, as well as bonds in the capital markets across. So yes, we look at, but only after the asset gets completed.
And also sometime for refinance. Like,
and of course refinancing, yes.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Vishal Periwal, PL Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, in terms of tendering this particular year, can you give some color, like, you know, how has been in the last three odd quarters of FY26, and in terms of NCD cost, I mean, out of that, like, you know, how much we could have won this year?
So this year, so far, we had up to 60,000 odd crores worth of tendering which happened. And this is again based on the NCT cost estimate. And as you know, the actual cost estimates project to project differ. For example, HVDC especially, right? So the numbers are elevated in terms of actual cost. But so far, I think what we are seeing is close to 80,000 odd crores worth of bidding should conclude by end of this year. Which is a large number.
Right. And out of the 60,000 crore you mentioned, so we could have won how much? I think
So we've got two projects. One is the HVDC, which is as per NCT about 12,000 odd crores, and one more project, which is the Palika one, which is about 1,600 odd crores. So 13,600 odd crores in terms of NCT cost, which broadly gives us a market share of about 18-20%.
Okay. And the escalation which you mentioned, so I think the NCT is 12,000 for HVDC, which you have recently won. So in the, this call only you mentioned probably the cost could be in the range of 18-20,000. So the escalation that you mentioned, it is pertaining to that only, right?
Correct.
Okay, got it. And then second is in terms of tendering, you did mention like, you know, 1 lakh crore probably opportunity of 80,000. So all these are ISTS project or any opportunity are you seeing in the state also?
No, there are state projects as well, especially from state like Maharashtra, Karnataka and Rajasthan.
Okay. And then, and when you mentioned we'll see these opportunity in couple of months, so probably things will move to financial year 27 also, 80,000 that you mentioned, right, sir? Or within this year, next 2 months, we are seeing...
So next 12 to 15 months, you will see in, almost 80,000 to 1 lakh crore of bidding.
Okay. And maybe like, you know, hopping on the same, which you might have answered. So the tendering this particular year was slow. So we have maintained market share. I mean, that is what is required from AESL. But at a sector level, sir, what could have been the reason for the same? Or maybe last year was, there were a lot of one-offs and bump-up years. How you see things on the ground?
So I think every year on a steady state basis, we will have about 80,000 to 90,000. Suddenly one year, because there was a backlog and they wanted to finish it off quickly, it bumped up. This year, it got little slowed down because there were certain transmission projects that they wanted to reevaluate depending on the change in the generation and demand profile in the country. But on a steady state basis, we believe that it will be about 80,000 to 90,000 bidding that will happen every year. Because now the state sector has also started opening up. So as I mentioned, three states are already very, very active in TBCB. And we expect many other states like UP, Bihar, Assam, Tamil Nadu, Gujarat, those are also expected to come in TBCB.
Okay. And as of now, in this 80,000 crore, which states are active? We are looking for
Rajasthan, Karnataka, and Maharashtra.
In Maharashtra,
in last 6 months, at least 7 to 8 projects got under a bidding.
Okay. But has there been even outcome or
they have been awarded.
Okay. Sure, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Chun Yi with iSpring. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I have two questions. Firstly, regarding the refinancing of your US dollar bonds. Would the company can consider more of an onshore as an option or offshore? And what are the considerations that the company will look at? Looking at this from more of a currency perspective, and also there's a headline today on Adani as well. So probably from the corporate governance side, it could be some negative sentiment. How would the company approach this? Thank you.
No, sure. So what we generally focus is that we keep our options open, whether it is offshore or onshore, and at the right time, we look to refinance our bonds. So the options are always open, whether it is offshore or onshore. Our focus is always to ensure that our bonds are always rated investment grade, whether it is offshore and onshore. And therefore, you would see in the onshore markets, most of our projects have AA+ and AAA ratings. And similarly, in the offshore markets, our bonds have sovereign ratings. So our focus is to ensure that we get the highest ratings. And based on that and based on the market conditions, we would tap either the onshore market, offshore market for our refinancing of the existing bonds that we have.
So for the US dollar bonds coming due this year, when will the company be considered come out of the plan for going offshore, onshore? Because I think it's saying August.
Yeah, we are working towards that, and we would refinance that at least in the next 2 to 3 months and complete the refinancing.
Okay, thank you. That's very helpful. And another question is probably on the ESG side. I would like to know how does the company assess the risk with our supply chain partners, especially labor practices and maybe environmental compliance. Thank you.
So we are very much working with our vendors, especially the EPC vendors, and we ensure that they follow all the governance, especially the safety practices that we follow, and also comply with our own ESG standards that the Adani Group as well as the AESL as a company is following. So from our vendor ecosystem, we ensure that all our vendors are also in compliance with the ESG standards that we have set for us as well as for the Adani Group.
And just to add to the vendor ecosystem part, so, you know, typically across the value chain, our focus is to tie up with tier one, tier two suppliers. So to ensure that, you know, we have last mile or, you know, the traceability element is there in terms of the best governance as well as labor practices at the respective vendors also.
And all effort you must have seen that is translating into our continuous ESG rating, whether it is international or domestic one.
Ms. C, are you done with the questions?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. That's very helpful.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Vishal Parai with Bandhan Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. Could you talk a bit more on leverage as to where we currently and what should be the leverage in the next couple of years? By March of 27, where should the total debt be? And what portion of this is financed by U.S. domiciled banks? Thanks.
Sure. So our total net debt currently as we speak is 38,000 odd crores. Of which 48,000 is gross debt, and we have cash balance of 9,600 odd crores. Out of the 47,000 of gross debt we have roughly 9,700 of the US dollar bonds in Adani Electricity Mumbai, and 10,500 odd crores of bonds in the transmission business. So around 25,000 odd crores of dollar bonds in 47,000 of the debt that we just mentioned. And our leverage currently is 4.3, which was 4.4 in September based on the published results. Currently, we are at 4.3 based on the trailing 12 months. And we will continue to maintain that always.
Mr. Parai, are you done with the questions?
No. Last quarter, you bought back some bonds, right? So
Correct.
FITD, what has been the total purchase of bonds that you have done?
In this financial year, we did a bond buyback of $95 million. 50 we did in Q1 and 45 we did in Q2.
Okay. And where would this leverage, what would be the total debt by March of 27?
So it would be in this range itself. The net debt would be in the range of 38,000 to 40,000 odd crores. Because we have the natural amortization of the repayment, which is also happening parallelly.
Yeah. Okay. By March 27, with this, say, 30,000 crores of incremental capex that you will do, 25,000-30,000 crores, your net debt, you are saying, will still remain at 40,000 crores? Is that what you are saying?
So it is the capitalization which will happen. The capex has been done on a progressively basis every year. So, so it is what I spoke was the capitalization part.
Agreed. But even if so, if I assume, say, 20,000 crores worth of capex that you will do for the next financial year, say, and 5,000 crores of capex that you might do in fourth quarter, so the thing is that is where even if I assume 25,000 crores more of capex that you would...
Yeah, but that would also translate to additional earnings because of the capitalization which will happen.
Sure.
Right.
Sure. So, sorry to harp on this, but so by March of 27, you're saying your net debt would still be flattish.
Correct.
Okay.
I can walk you through the numbers. I mean, but it's not going to... Yeah.
Take that offline.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, last question is, of this 25,000 crores of bonds, what is the maturity that is coming about in the next 2 years?
So the immediate one which is coming up is the $500 million bond which is in August 27, which I told you we are going to refinance in the next 1-2 months itself. The balance have all dated maturities, like the AEML bonds is maturing in 2030-2031. Our average debt maturity profile of the dollar bonds as well as the INR bond market is currently 7.9 years.
Mm-hmm. So after this, after the August 27, the next maturity would come up in 30 of these 25,000 crores out bonds?
29. The next is in 29 and the two AEML bond is in 2030 and 2031.
Okay. This is helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes on the line of Shirom Kapoor with Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Just want to ask you on your CapEx and capitalization. So starting with CapEx, are you last quarter you had guided for, transmission about 114 to 115 billion rupees, distribution 16 billion, and smart meters 40 billion for this year. Are you on track to, for that kind of CapEx this year? Are you maintaining that guidance?
So we did capex of 9,294 till 9 months. By the end of this financial year, we would be in the range of around 15,000 odd crores once the entire capex has been completed for transmission, smart meter, and distribution.
So this is a slight downward revision from last time. Is there any particular segment where this revision is coming? Is it from the transmission side or smart meter side? Would we be able to quantify that?
So some of the projects got spilled over by 1 or 2 months in the next financial year. So that's the reason why the 12,000 odd crores, I mean just about 1,000 odd crores, we had guided the market to around 16,000. We are currently looking at around 14,500 to 15,000 odd crores.
And the downward is mainly in transmission.
Okay, got that. Secondly, on capitalization, so I guess similarly, last quarter you had mentioned that in the second half we're expecting about 120 billion of capitalization in the transmission segment. Now you mentioned it's about 100 billion. So there's been a slight downward revision there as well. That, again, I'm guessing is because of the deferment of projects. But just want to understand this breakup that you mentioned of 100 billion in AEML and the NKTL. So AEML, my understanding is it's a 70 billion rupee project, and NKTL, as per your previous release, was a 965 crore project. So is that the right number? So what is adding up to 100 billion that you expect?
You are right. 965 NKTL is the correct number.
Okay, so that means the balance that we're expecting this in the fourth quarter of FY26 would be the Mumbai HVDC of 70 billion, and the NKTL has already happened as of December. Is that going to happen in 4Q?
It has already happened. Just happened. In December. Yeah.
Oh. Okay, understood. And then, so earlier in the call you mentioned this 240 to 250 billion total. That would be including 4Q as well as FY27, right? Of 7 projects to be commissioned.
Correct.
Got it. Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Anuj Upadhyay with Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, one thing on the smart metering, we had given a guidance or a target to reach around 6 crores over the coming few years. Currently, we have a pipeline with installation in the range of 2.5 year. Any target by when can we reach this 6 crore number?
So, the 6 crore was, we were talking about that number of couple of years back. In last, unfortunately, in the last entire financial year, there was no significant bidding opportunity came up. That I, as I explained to you, there were many states who initially never wanted to become a part of RDSS. They didn't come out with a bidding. Now most of them have submitted their proposal to Ministry of Power, and we expect that bidding to happen in next year. And we will, if not reach to 6 crore, but we will at least maintain our market share, meaning thereby we would have about 5 crore of meter concession.
Okay. But, and second, but you mean,
But what's also important is that the capex or the capitalization got translated into the transmission projects, because at that point in time, our under construction pipeline was just around 15,000 odd crores, which is now close to 80,000 odd. I mean, that was a bigger shift which happened when we were talking about 6 crore meters, if you were referring to that period.
So in fact, that is the biggest advantage that AESL has of diversity in businesses. Like many other similar player in transmission doesn't have that kind of diversity. So we could utilize opportunity in transmission to compensate that was not happening in smart metering.
Got it, sir. And sir, in one of the earlier answer which you responded to someone's query, you mentioned that the smart metering segment would be self-funded through the internal accruals. Now with, say, a run rate of around 1 crore installation or slightly higher by the end of the current fiscal, and my sense is our annual revenue on a per meter basis comes in the range of 600 odd crores. So that's 1600 rupees, sorry. So that should fetch you a revenue, cumulative revenue somewhere in the range of 600 crores on a per annum basis, just on installation of 1 crore meter. By going or reaching a number 2.5 CR, which probably we are targeting by the end of next fiscal, that number would probably, you know, go up somewhere in the range of close to 3.5 or 4,000 crore. Correct me if I'm wrong, sir. By this mean, can you just help me in understanding the economics, how the incremental capex in the smart metering space would be self-funded?
So what I was saying is that we will not be doing debt funding into it. We will be securitizing those receivables itself. So the 600 crores is over the next seven years. So I would use the securitization of the receivables itself to fund the new meters which are going to come up. So I don't have to fund it through the accruals of the transmission business to fund smart meter business, and based on that securitization of the receivables, I would be more than sufficient to fund whatever growth which is there in smart meter business or the existing projects of 2.25 crore meters that I have.
Okay, got it, sir. Thanks for the clearance. Thanks. That's it from me.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Pratik Dugar with IntelSense. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I had a question on our 9-month EBITDA bridge. I mean, if I look at the SC addition to the EBITDA, the jump in the smart meter is understandable. And but can you elaborate on the transmission side as well? Because like it has also seen a 300 crore jump. Like how do we read into this?
Transmission business has grown generally because of the operationalization of 3 or 4 projects that got completed, especially the Khavda one, the KPS one, and the Sangod one, resulting in the additional revenues. And distribution business gave the steady state of 1,200 odd crores for the 9-month period. So from that basis, the largest part is coming from the operationalization of the new transmission projects which are getting completed.
So, sir, if I understand that the could I say that the SCA margin that we accrue or the SCA EBITDA, if it jumps, like, could that be a leading indicator for our operating EBITDA as well going forward?
So SCA EBITDA does not lead to increase in the operating EBITDA. The operating EBITDA largely comes from the as the transmission project gets completed, that forms part of my operational revenue and the operational EBITDA. The capex that I do will give an indication of the SCA margin that we put out in the income statement.
Okay, thank you. That's it from my side. And one more, sir. I think if you are aware that sometime back in December, the CEA had come out with a proposal of some critical items. There was a list of some 16 items in which there were HVDC assemblies which were, you know, imported largely. So are you facing some, you know, challenges as per, you know, getting the procurement for HVDC valve assemblies?
No, we are not facing any challenge. In fact, for the recent HVDC project that we have won, which is Khavda Olpad, we already finalized and closed the contract with OEM.
Okay, and that will be a foreign OEM?
Yeah.
Okay. We don't have a contract for HVDC.
We have closed that contract with GE, and in fact, we have been able to agree with them for a schedule which is far more aggressive than completion schedule given in the bid timeline.
Okay, thank you, sir. That should come my side.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, we have reached the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Kunjal Mehta for closing comments.
I take this opportunity to thank all the participants who participated into the call. Due to paucity of time, if we are not able to answer any of your questions, that if you need additional clarifications, we are just a phone call away. Just would like to end our comment with that we are now at a strong pedigree of completing our projects, especially the Mumbai HVDC and the four projects that we just mentioned. And based on that, we are looking to have a capitalization of at least 25,000 odd crores in the next 12 to 15 months. So that is something which is very important as far as the transmission business concerns. And the smart meter pipeline, where we have already completed the installation of close to 92 lakh meters and looking to complete the balance meters in the next 12 months or so. So both our transmission and smart meter business continue to have strong degree of revenue translation, which will happen in the next 12 to 15 months. Thank you all. Thank you for participating.
Thank you. On behalf of Adani Energy Solutions Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.